closely talk.
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on February 24th, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Thank you, Scott. Tonight, we are going to learn about the summoning of spirits.
Yes.
With Kyriakos. And then a couple of changes in tonight's schedule. Oh, my God. It was just insane.
Yes.
We catch up with one of our dearest friends, Tim Yancey. Finally, we meet veteran UFO researcher Ted Phillips, who will be telling us about Project Moonshaft and the Marley Woods Project. I want this song for my iPod.
You got it. It's right. We got a million.
Who do I go about contacting? Where do I get it? This new bumper music.
Well, you can contact me about it because I have all the music. All
right.
But you can't actually go
Scott
to...
Scott L. Banner. I would...
You can actually go to... let me check my links here. And we're talking about is Alien X...
Alien XS. Out of England, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can go to Alien XSS. I don't know how to say that. I should ask these guys.
AlienXS.
AlienXS. AlienXS. AlienXSS.de.vu.
But still, it totally pumps me up.
It's
totally
a good song. It's a cool tune. Again, you know,
I'm geeked.
The one thing I always forget every week. What do I do?
Oh, manual.
Now it's fixed. Yeah, you guys can't see that on radio land. Yeah, now it's fixed. Now you're not going to hear any of the other stuff going on.
What a weird show we have going on today.
What a weird week we had going on.
Well, what a weird weekend we had going on last weekend.
last weekend was weird enough. This week, I just
thank you, by the way,
for what
for last weekend for
what did I do.
Carried the show.
Oh,
I think I probably said 10 things.
I think you did a fine job.
I don't know.
Everybody was here, you know, in body pretty much. You were all right.
I don't know.
I'm trying to keep my. I gotta get energy here. So, listeners, please don't kill me.
Crunch.
I'm eating a couple of carrots here. So
carrot sticks.
Yeah, carrot sticks.
Carrot sticks for him and Diet Pepsi for me.
I got vanilla tea also going.
Oh, it smells fantastic too.
Well, that's the candle.
Oh. I'm going to just nibble.
We got everything vanilla here.
I'm going to nibble on this candle for a little bit. I'll catch you later.
Yeah, we've been on this candle kick lately. You know that. I'm showing you all the candles we got laying around here. But yeah, that's the...
Pretty soon we're going to put them in the shape of a pentagram and do an incantation. Maybe with Kyriakos we'll do that.
Maybe. We'll have to see. That's the Veracruz vanilla flavor we're talking about there. I don't want to pimp the name of the candle company because they're kind of a big one. But they got good candles. I can't help it. I got to buy them. A couple things we gotta get out of the way here. First thing, we were supposed to do, Vance West is gonna join us tonight. The mighty Vance West, TrinityScience.com. And we're gonna go over the results for the ORVP4.
Yes.
Which, by the way, we had the most submissions. This is the most submissions we've had for a project.
So needless to say, he's still working on it.
Not that, no. He had to go out of town. He had an emergency thing he had to do.
Emergency.
It's the carrots.
It's carrots, I know.
he had an emergency thing he had to take care of out of town. So he contacted me in plenty of time and said, hey, look, I'm really sorry. Can we reschedule? So we're going to reschedule. We have already rescheduled to, I believe, I don't have my schedule in front of me, but I believe it's going to be, let me just double check here. It'll be the 16th of March. We're going to have them just a couple weeks from now.
That's going to be a little tough on me.
Well, you're going to be out of town, aren't you?
I'm out of town. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking with Tim Yancey coming up this show in the second hour of the show.
We are supposed to be going out of town that weekend, aren't we?
That particular show, I know Bonnie and I are scheduled, and I know you and Amber and Tom and Linda were all invited to.
How far is that out from us here?
On the break, let's go to your computer and we'll do a map quest. Cause
somebody get the TomTom out and figure it out.
See, the thing is they're going to want us. It's going to want us to go through Canada.
Yeah.
To get there.
Oh,
and
man!
Aren't there new rules or something? Like, don't you have to, you know, touch your toes and?
You know, I think you have to have a passport for that, don't you know?
See now. You know, I live with an over-the-road trucker, right? Someone who travels, and he travels through Canada. And he does have a passport, but he says it's not the law yet that you need a passport.
But you have to have your birth certificate, though, don't you?
Birth certificate and driver's license.
God knows where mine's at.
Well, I know I have mine somewhere.
I'm going to have to look at the logistics on that, but we are going to be doing a show that weekend. We will do a show, even if you guys are going to remote in, whatever, we'll figure that out. He will be, Vance West will be coming back that weekend to go over the results of the OREP-4.
Okay.
Norman Ober, also, he's you know, we tried to find out what was happening with him. He's actually sick right now. He's sick in the hospital. So.
And speaking of being sick, but not in the hospital, is Bonnie.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, Bonnie is not in studio tonight.
Mm-hmm.
She is here with us in spirit, however.
Yeah.
She wanted to be here, and she just couldn't. She's ill tonight.
Yeah. So Norman
and
will be
I'm calling my agent, because I don't get sick days.
Neither do I.
Because even last weekend, they attached some robot to my vehicle and made it just, like, it showed up here at the winery. And then kicked me out of my car and up the stairs into the studio and I sat there for the entire show last weekend, even though I was probably legally ill.
Yeah, I we're gonna reschedule with Norman also.
Yeah.
So we'll be getting him back on soon, hopefully. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery.
Do get well, Norman.
He has pneumonia, unfortunately.
Get well soon.
Poor gentleman. So hopefully we'll get him back on. We'll get him on the show.
What was his topic?
Well, he wrote a book called Anita's Heaven.
Yes.
And it's about his wife.
Oh.
And, you know, high level what the story is. I've got a copy of it sitting over there on the one of the shelves. He was contacted by his wife. He's been contacted by his wife thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps a relationship with her on the other side. So we're going to probably talk with him, hopefully here down the road here pretty soon about that. Hopefully he'll be, like I said, again, he will be feeling better soon, though. So, quick recovery, Norman. In the meantime, though, we are going to be talking to Tim, like you said. Tim Yancey's going to be joining us, which will be pretty cool. We got a lot of stuff to talk to him about.
Namely
what you talked about.
Yeah, there is that upcoming thing on the 14th and 15th or 15th and 16th, whatever that weekend is.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is just before my birthday, hint, hint, is the Just Say No to Orbs tour, which I'm sure people have seen all over Satan Space by now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will be there,
mm-hmm.
as will Bonnie. You were invited, but we don't know how it's going to work out yet.
I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. I'm not sure if I can make that trip yet. We'll have to see.
We'll do a map quest and find out.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how, because we will do the show that weekend. It's going to depend on how long of a drive it is.
Right.
Because if I have to be out of bed at 6 a.m. to get back here, that's going to be really tough, and I just don't get up that early anymore.
Right.
So, I used to, but not anymore.
Why don't we do a phone-only version of Ghostly Talk?
I don't want to sound like we're on blog talk.
No music,
no nothing.
Yeah. Oh, ow.
Did I say that out?
Cha.
Wow, darn. Sorry, didn't mean to say that. Cha. No, we're a radio show, actually.
Yeah,
so
we are.
I prefer at least one person's here on the microphone at
every
show.
I agree.
Just to maintain some sense of quality here. I know that's a relative
Ghostly
term.
Ghostly talk?
I know that's
those
a relative
were not
term.
Used in the same sentence.
Yeah, so, that's... We'll be talking with him about that. Ted Phillips is somebody who's really interesting we're going to be talking to. It's one of the guests that one of you wonderful listeners out there submitted to us.
Yeah.
And, of course, this week we needed some people to come on the show. And I'm like, well, we can get some new people on. It'd be kind of cool. So I, you know, caught up with a couple of people, and Ted was one of the people that, that wanted to come on the show. So
well,
we'll be here.
This is definitely something that I'm very interested in, because you know, last year I went Bigfoot hunting,
mm-hmm.
finally.
Mm-hmm.
This year on my agenda is going out looking for UFOs. So hopefully Ted will be able to give me some pointers. I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, this is, you know, what Ted's working on. What we're going to get into with Ted and this
It's like physical evidence.
Trace evidence.
Evidence left behind from a report.
Yeah, it isn't just like trying to see them while they're there.
Right.
You're trying to get evidence of these things that have... You're trying to get evidence that these things have been there.
Right.
Not just sitting there with a camera looking at the sky for hours at a
well,
time.
Well, that's what I want to do that part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to go do like an archaeological dig of a site to see if, you know, there's a piece of foil.
I don't even know if that's what they do. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Or, you know, I just saw a show on TV where they were, like, cutting out implants and stuff and doing some tests.
I know what you're talking about.
I saw that show and on the television. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's creepy.
They did a spectrograph of it, and it was just carbon or something. I don't know. It was something pretty common. But...
You know what movie I just saw recently, speaking of aliens? I'm not a big fan of Tom Cruise. Actually, I'm... Not a fan of Tom Cruise. As a matter of fact, I detest Tom Cruise.
Okay.
I think he's annoying. I think Scientology is annoying for the most part.
Yeah.
It's something I don't think we've ever really covered on this show for a good reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason right there. But Tom Cruise, it's the newest version of, what is it? Now my brain.
He was in War of the Worlds, right?
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And Amber, I mean, I remember seeing the original War of the Worlds. God, I mean, I saw it when I was a kid. I saw it in my film class in college I had to take.
Right, and no, Devin, I don't think I saw the original War of the Worlds in the theater. I was even too...
Well, you trying to block that joke?
Yeah. Yes, that one.
Insult hockey here?
You mean like the Orson Welles or whatever?
Yeah, Orson Welles.
Yeah, no, that was even before my time, so
yeah,
we're talking early.
Yeah.
Film.
So, like,
that was when they would take stone tablets and chisel them.
Well,
and then
as we know,
the original
War of the Worlds was done on radio. Orson Welles.
Yes, that was.
And
done
that's
on
the
radio.
One that caused all the chaos
in
right?
Pennsylvania or somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And everybody freaked out. They did such a good job. Everybody freaked out, right?
Yeah.
And then,
they did a movie
which was
version
pretty cool. Yeah.
of the terror that it caused.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it was a great. I mean, it was a cool film too.
And now this though was more. The story redone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And
I saw it.
Yeah, Amber made me watch it. I won't lie. She made me watch it. She said, you need to watch this film.
You can watch it.
So,
that's
yeah.
Amber.
Well, she got me to sit down with none other than food. That's what gets me to usually slow down. Put some food in front of me, and then I'll usually sit down there and pay attention to something for at least 10 minutes, you know, however long it takes me to shove whatever it is in front of me down my throat. So, we got started on this film, and I have to say I was really impressed with that movie.
Right.
It was a scary, scary film. I mean, you remember seeing it.
Yeah.
The thing that really got to me about that movie was, you know, the big tripods, they call them.
Right.
They came out of the ground. You know, that was pretty wicked alone. But the sound, and this is what Amber told me to pay attention to, was the horn. That.
Yeah.
Right. That, and I mean, that was really, really creepy. Because, I mean, I don't know what it was for. I think it was like, there's people here, kill them. Maybe that's what that meant. Like, there's people here, suck their blood out and spread it all over the place. That's
right.
That's what they were doing. I don't know why. That really got to me. I mean, it was just a very well-done film. And, you know, the ending, of course, was done the exact same way the original film was done. That the aliens, they had all this technology, but they just couldn't understand the simplest thing. The simplest microbes are what destroyed them. Which I thought was an interesting idea in itself. That's just my alien thing for this week.
Wow.
It was a great film. It was a cool movie. Check it out. I mean, I don't like Tom Cruise, but you might get it. Yeah, it's a good film. He did a good job. He's a decent actor, I guess. I seem better. Sorry. All right. Let's move on. Anything else?
Just my general level of excitement about this upcoming
week. Oh, yeah. This week is going to be great. I turned, well... I don't even know. Should I announce this?
On the 22nd,
yeah,
and I didn't even call you, and I felt so bad.
Oh, don't feel bad. I don't really care. I'm just mentioning it because it's like, okay, I feel old now. I really feel old now.
Oh, it doesn't even... Don't talk to me about old until you hit 40.
33.
Oh, spring chicken.
And, you know, it was great because, Friday was my birthday, and the phone was ringing off the hook all day long. Don't feel bad, though. Still, don't
I know,
feel
you
bad.
You were sitting there waiting for Doug to come
across. Yeah, I'm waiting for Doug to go my caller ID.
And it didn't happen.
But the phone was ringing off the hook all day long, and people were calling me going, hey, dude, all right, man, happy birthday, what's up, brother? I'm like, I'm working. Go away. I kid you not. I'm like, I'm working right now, all right? I can't sit here and talk. I'm trying to get some stuff done. I got to go.
Yeah.
So and these people probably, you know, that'll be the last time they call me on my birthday probably ever.
Right.
Because it's like, well, screw you then. You didn't tell me.
You didn't appreciate my phone call.
Yeah. So, but, yeah.
Snap their phone.
That shows you. That just shows you where...
Do I have an actual sound of a phone snapping
shut? Yeah,
there you
go. Try it.
See if this works. It probably won't work. The phone will flip out of my hand and crash. There we go.
Ooh,
that was a good one.
Here, we'll actually do a skit of this. Okay, right. Ring. Ring. Here's me. God damn it. I don't know what you want now. Okay, open it. Oh, yeah, you got to open it first. Okay, open it. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Scott Allen, it's your birthday. Woo!
I'm working right now. Go away.
Oh, okay. Bye.
That was every phone call I got on Friday.
Wow.
Pretty much. Well, maybe not all of them.
Yeah.
But regardless, it just shows you my age. Because I remember, like, you know, well, it's like one of those
32, you were like, yeah!
It's like one of those double deuce birthdays.
33, you turn into a cranky old
man. Yeah. It's one of those double deuce birthdays, right? Because you have, like, 33, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I was 22,
yeah.
I think I told you, like, because I think I mentioned, like, my birthday's coming up from 33. You know what? I remember when I was 22. And I remember when I was 22. Oh, God. 22 years old, I was getting over a girl.
Yeah.
Of course, right? So I was in a really bad spot. And my buddies took me out to the bar and got me, I mean, this is one of those ones where, yeah, you know, you got drunk last weekend.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
No, you got drunk. And that was cool. I mean,
I was way toasted.
But you were still in control, I think. You were still very much in control.
I was not running up and down the street in the nude.
No, you were very much in control of yourself, but you were having a good time.
I was not swinging from chandeliers or wearing a lampshade.
My 22nd birthday, forget it, dude. I had no motor functions left.
Wow.
They got me so... I mean, it was just like one of those ones where there nothing would process. Nothing would come in and out. Nothing worked, right? And I remember, I mean, that my buddies got me just wasted. It was just, I mean, just top 10, you know, top 5 drunks in my life. And they take me home. Because I still owned my parents at the time, right?
Right.
They take me home. They think they're going to sneak me there. Well, what they thought they were going to do was sneak me into my parents' house. And just throw me on my bed, and my parents wouldn't know any better. Which, you know, both my parents, they're a couple of insomniacs.
Yeah.
And when a pin drops, they're up running around
the
house.
As a matter of fact, they were probably sitting on the porch with their lanterns.
Yeah.
And a time clock.
Waiting for me to turn into a pumpkin or something and come rolling up the driveway. I don't know. But they come up, I guess, I remember one of the things I remember was, we can't bring her in the house. Because I'm like, you know, it's like nothing's coming out. I'm not making any sense.
When it's time to rent a hotel room.
Well, yeah. So that's what I should have done.
Yeah.
So they get the other idea. This is in talking to them after the situation. We were just going to drop you on the porch like Animal House and just leave you.
Ooh.
And, like, ring the doorbell and run away. Well, they just dropped me on the porch. They didn't ring the doorbell because they were scared of the wrath of my parents.
Right.
So I guess they dropped me on the porch, but my mom was already at the front door.
Right.
And so she came out and said, get back here right now. You help me bring him in the house. My dad comes outside with a breather strip on his nose and nothing but his house coat.
Right? Wow.
They carry me in the house. They put me in the front bathroom of the house, to which I did what we most of it. When you drink that much, it's inevitable. You are going to.
Yes.
Your body is just going to reject it and say, no, I'm not dealing with this for the next 3 days. So that's what I did. Now, bless my mother because she sat there with me pretty much for about 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
Watching me so I wouldn't die.
Right.
She's like, you were white as a ghost. You were so white. So she stayed with me so I wouldn't die.
Right.
Wouldn't do anything, you know, I wouldn't just die, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what do you do when you
I'm thirsty. Yeah, I think this liquid plumber will be delicious.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. Exactly, right? So that was my 22nd birthday. Right now, 11 years forward.
Drano on your lips.
Yeah,
it just wouldn't work out.
11 years forward now. That's just to illustrate how much has changed over the years.
Yeah.
11 years forward, here we go. 33. Hey, Scott, happy birthday. I am at work. Go away. That just shows you how much has changed. Yeah, slap. Phone shut and I'm done. I think the highlight of my birthday was going to Red Lobster. I said,
not bad.
RL, we had some dinner and that was it. Came home and did exactly what I wanted to do in the first place, which was lay on the couch.
Now that sounds like an ideal birthday.
That's what I, yeah. And that's what I did actually for the, well, we went shopping yesterday. And
look up March 19th. What day? Is there like a, it's going to be something silly like a Tuesday or some.
Now our birthdays are really close to each other. Let's see here. March 19th.
Oh, it's a Wednesday.
Oh, it's a tump day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one good thing.
I'll be at work.
Mine was on a Friday. Next year it'll be on a Saturday. My 34th birthday will be on a Saturday. Woo, yay.
I gotta wait for like I gotta wait till I'm half a century old before it'll probably be like 2010.
Is it like every 15 years now you have to get drunk?
Yeah, so that means this 2008 and 15. Yeah, probably by the time my birthday is on a Friday.
Well, hopefully we get through the Mayan calendar end.
Yeah,
because that's 2012. Maybe hopefully we don't all die. So you can get drunk again.
That's
what we're working for, there folks. That's what we're working for, so we can get through 2012. So Doug can.
You know what
again.
I would like if in the next 15 years if they just, you know how they have the morning or the, it's what is it? It's this little pill, the hangover pill or something,
yeah,
that you take the next morning or something. If they have like the get drunk pill,
yeah,
and you take that Friday night, and mm-hmm. then you take the antidote on Sunday, yeah, and then you have a whole weekend of not remembering a single thing, and you're just like a party animal.
You could do like a Fahrenheit 451 on it, like having those little tubes they put down your throat and just sucks the alcohol and the poison out of your body.
Oh, there you go.
That might be a good way. That would be a little uncomfortable, but you're dead anyways. I mean,
that's true.
You're knocked out or whatever. You're drunk.
You don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah,
that would work.
For some people, it'd be a good weekend.
What a fitting end to my wonderful weekend.
Sweet. Sweet. Okay, I don't even want to. This is a family show, for God's sake.
I saw a television show about the paranormal that I actually liked.
Oh no, which one was that?
You are going to absolutely freak out.
Which one is this?
First of all, I think it's made for kids.
Are you gonna name this? Or?
Oh gosh, yes. It's,
oh, okay,
it's
cool.
So worth watching.
All right.
I only saw one episode ever, and I really liked it.
Okay.
It's called Ghost Trackers. I never heard of it before.
What station is it?
Don't
say it on the.
No, I can say it because it's a. Maybe we'll get them to like sponsor the show or something.
Right.
The initial letters of the station was HBOFE. And I don't know what the F-E means, but HBO obviously was, you know, the old home box office, you know, their original thing. And anyway, HBOFE, there's this show. It's out of Canada, and it's just the freakiest show I think I've ever seen. I think it's made for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of them, quote, reality, end quote, game shows. And they take two ghost hunters, and they put them in a supposedly haunted place.
Okay.
One goes in for like 10 minutes or 15 minutes and then comes out. And then a panel of three kids gives them scores. I'm dead serious.
Wait,
okay.
What do they score them on?
On equipment, knowledge, evidence.
Oh.
And then overall technique, they get a score as well or something.
What technique?
I have no idea, but anyway, listen, so...
I hate it already, but you keep going. I want to hear why you like it. I despise this thing.
There's this guy who's, like, in the headquarters or whatever, and he's talking them through it, and he's keeping them apprised of their time, and he's also, as they're going through the haunted house or haunted location, he's relating things that supposedly happen there. Like, oh, the caretaker sees, you know... a woman dancing, you know, or whatever on the stairs, you know, whatever it is. And he's relaying this information, you know, after they are at, they get to a location within the haunted spot, or within the haunted location, then they go, ooh, the EMF is spiking, ooh, a door just slammed, ooh, this happened, you know. And then they get relayed the story of what it is, right? Or of what the people report.
This is that stupid psychic challenge.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I've only seen Psychic Challenge once, and all I saw was when they were in a parking lot. So it made no sense to me. But I have seen this. It's called Ghost Trackers. It's a game. Oh, and then at the end, based on their scores, one of them advances to the next round.
It's like the Monster Jam, then, kind of.
It is like, okay. Yes, it is like the Monster Jam of ghost hunting.
Oh, I love this.
It really is. It is totally awesome.
You know what? For you, I'm going to check it out one time, but I'm already going to go in there prejudging it, going, this is the stupidest thing as Doug described it, and it sounded so dumb to me.
No, it's not bad.
None of it's based on any type of solid evidence, though.
It doesn't have to be in this case, because I'm telling you, it's so cool, because, like, for example, the girl, she walks into this kitchen, and the door starts rattling. Right? And you're just absolutely sure that someone's behind there rattling it because... And she didn't even go through it, which is kind of sad because, you know, somebody... If it were me, I probably would have opened the door. But, you know, she didn't scream and run away because I expected her, because of all these other shows that are on TV...
Yeah.
I expected her to scream and run away.
Well, yeah, because that's what any ghost hunter should do.
Right.
Especially when they have their own show.
Right. Okay. But she didn't scream and run away. She's like... it's rattling again, and then she gets it on film, so she got the evidence that it was rattling, right?
Okay, all right.
I didn't see her, like, take a wind reading, like, you know, lick her finger and then try and see if there was wind, but she says, I don't feel a breeze coming through the kitchen, you know. So she noted some things on tape, which I thought was helpful.
Yeah.
I kind of wish she would have gone up to the door and opened it, but she didn't. But other than that, I just thought it was amazing because I expected her to scream and run away. And then they made her go in the basement, which was really cool. She's like, I'm not comfortable down here.
What do you think?
But she did.
Few people I know, even ghost hunter people, that are comfortable in a dark basement by themselves.
But she didn't scream and run away. And then the guy didn't get that kind of evidence, but, like, I don't know. He took the, like, his EMF detector.
Wait, he didn't go for a whammy or anything?
No. his EMF detector.
Is Trebek hosting this show, too?
And everything fell out of his, like, utility belt.
Oh, he lost points for that.
So he's like, Kerbang. No, he actually gained points. They gave him, each of the three kid judges gave him 10 points each.
For what? Because he's a klutz?
For equipment. Because he's a klutz. Well, no, I imagine it's because they felt
they have a paranormal. Worse. They have a worse scoring system than Whose Line Is It Anyway? They do. It sounds like they have a worse scoring system.
Oh, my God, that was the wrong time to say that.
You know, that Diet Pepsi going over the mixing board.
Yes, we did. Because the scoring system for Whose Line Is
It's non-existent, pretty
much. Yeah, it's like 1,000 points for everybody in the audience.
Let me get this right. If you drop your crap all over the floor, you get more points from the,
yes, you do.
From the panel of kids judges.
Yes.
How old were these people ghost hunting? Were they adults or kids? What were they? What were they?
I would say late teens.
So they were kids too, basically.
Early 20s, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And then, but the kids who were doing the scoring, they looked like mid to early
ghost
teens.
Ghost trackers.
Ghost trackers.
On HBO-FE.
HBO-FE, whatever that means. It's made out of Canada because they got the Canada logo at the end, so it's a Canadian show. It is awesome.
Is that HBO Fork Eye? That's what I'm thinking right now. Drop the M, fork my eye, whatever. I mean,
right.
The eye. Okay, well, you know what? I'll check it out.
I suggested it. I was impressed. I really was. I thought this is pretty cool. This is not so bad.
I got carrots on the keyboard.
Well, I almost had Diet Pepsi on the keyboard.
There's a piece of carrot down. Well, from laughing at you, you know.
It's not bad. I enjoyed it because it was, I mean, it's like,
what? Keep going.
It's like my favorite, you did it again. It's like my favorite thing is ghost hunting, and then and then they made a game of it. Yeah. And I just thoroughly enjoy it. I totally love that.
Well, I'll definitely check that out, and when we're next...
And there's no egos on that show, let me tell you. Because if there were, those people would be laughed out of any ghost hunter meeting, any self-respecting ghost hunter meeting I ever attended. But it's just awesome.
All right, check it out. We'll check it out.
Don't forget next weekend, Decatur, Illinois, March 1st.
Yeah.
Film Festival. That's where we will be.
Film Festival.
That's where you should be. If you haven't already done it, you go to whatever the link is on our homepage.
PrairieGhost.com/winter.html. You got it. All over that. Yeah. Next weekend, Troy Taylor's Dead of Winter Film Festival will be there. We'll talk more about that throughout the show here, I think. In the meantime, though, coming up, Kyriakos is going to be coming up on the show.
Summoning Spirit.
On the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
All right, listen up, everybody. I'm Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. Yeah, you know me from Strangeland and the House of Aaron, PB and Stardust on Screen. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Know that.
Sundance, Park City, Utah.
Cannes, France.
New York City.
What do all these places have in common, Gooseman?
Well, I don't know, Demon Hunter.
They are the homes of some of the best-known film festivals in the world.
But wait, now you can join authors Troy Taylor and Luke Nalborski from the American Ghost Society in the first-ever Dead of Winter Film Festival in Decatur, Illinois.
March 1st, 2008. Come and experience the best independent films on ghosts, hauntings, and the supernatural.
Prices start at $10 for general admission with all-access passes for $75.
Get the first look at these new films. Join in the investigation of the Haunted Lincoln Theater and meet the filmmakers.
Not to mention the Ghostly Talk radio crew and the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
For reservations, go to www.prairieghosts.com/winter.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Hey guys, be sure to be there March 1st at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Don't miss the chance to say, I was there for the first Dead of Winter Film Festival.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Theater in Columbus, Indiana. Eerie Radio, Indiana Spy, and Crossroads Paranormal present the Indiana Phenomicon 2008 with special guests Linda Zimmerman and Wanda Lou Willis. Visit www.phenomicon.net for more information and to purchase tickets. Indiana Phenomicon 2008. Be there if you dare.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Kyriakos has been involved in the metaphysical world for 20 years now and has summoned thousands of spirits. Kyriakos has written a very easy to follow ritual books, so anyone can easily communicate with spirits, which is, of course, what we're all looking for.
Oh, yeah.
His books can be purchased at www.kyriakos.biz. Let me spell that. It's K-U-R-I-A-K-O-S. .biz. And of course, that has a permanent link up on the Ghostly Talk site at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, yeah.
And both Scott L. and myself would like to welcome Kyriakos to the show. Welcome.
You know, I don't know if we really ever tackled this subject, though, really about summoning spirits, so to say.
Well, it's
contacting and summoning are two different things, though.
It's a little bit of a...
Well, it's sort of a passive thing where they kind of want to go out there and sense spirits. They want to go on as many investigations and experience that. Where to me, what I do is I make it to where you can experience it in your living room if you want to, rather than having to go on this search and mission to always hear a voice here or see this. You can actually not only experience it in your house or wherever you're at, but you can actually use it to help your life out with more money, better health, and all of these things. So you can use beneficial spirits for your advancement in your life and incorporate it into your daily life.
How does that differ from magic?
Magic is all divided into two. It's either low magic or high magic. Low magic is sort of like the secret, where if you believe it, you can achieve it. You write affirmations, and you know you also do low magic is also spells and stuff where you mix things, and essentially what you're doing is putting together this energy and then sending it out. High magic has to do with spirits. So low magic is no spirits, and high magic is calling on spirits to do it directly for you. Where low magic is just your will, and that's the big difference. I work with only high magic, which is summoning spirits to accomplish things.
Interesting. When the spirits that you summon are, there's so many questions I want to ask.
Yep.
And I told you just before the break, we're not going to pound you with questions, but you know what? This is so phenomenal.
Let me give you a real quick synopsis. What I've done is, if you look at all the ancient cultures, first it was Babylon, and then it was ancient Egypt, and it was Greek and Roman and Nordic and Celtic and Voodoo, then Turiya, these are all, and as well as a shamanism, all of these cultures have summoned spirits. But what I did is I took their rituals, every single one of them, and I broke it down to the essential ingredients that you need to summon a spirit the quickest way. So you could go on for 2 or 3 hours if you want in a shamanism ritual, but with my books, they're just plain and simple to the point how you can do it. You can do the setup in 10 minutes. I put only the items that you need and how to be very efficient. So the ritual itself takes 10 or 15 minutes. And then what I did is I went out and I listed every single spirit that you can summon for money, health, love, for every very particular request. Because like humans change, but spirits don't. Spirits are in charge of a very particular job. So if you summon a spirit for money and this one's involved with love, it's not going to help you. That's why people say, well, I've been praying and how come my prayers aren't answered? Because you're just sending it out in a mass email, so to speak.
So, a good way to put it. Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah. I have the very specific ritual with each spirit and to summon for that ritual. And then, like, you could do it, like, before you go to work every day. You could summon a spirit like I do, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes before. And with these rituals, you actually will see, feel, hear, sense the spirits. You will physically feel the presence. You will see them. You will hear them. And I have specific techniques that I've designed that have come from me getting information from the spirit world through my own psychic abilities to where I was able to get this information and make it simple, to the point, straight ritual book that anyone can follow.
Okay. Well, it says 20 years. You've been doing this for 20 years.
In the medical school for 20 years now.
How did it start for you? What was the thing that made you think, hey, you know what, I don't have to, you know, work at the car wash, or I don't have to, you know, or if I do, it's just, that's just one part of my life. There's this whole other humongous part of my life that's waiting for me in the metaphysical world. How did you discover that?
For me, like, you know, when I was, like, on my own at 15, like, I kind of, you know, it was scary being on my own at 15, so I naturally didn't really trust humans very much, and I had this voice that kind of was telling me what to do all the time. It would be more like a psychic knowing, and sometimes it would be a voice, and I just learned to trust it and listen to it, and over time, it just got stronger and stronger. So I tend to trust the spirit world many times before I trust the physical world, because I know it's always going to be there, the information I can, it helps me all the time. A lot of people have psychic gifts, you know, and that's real important, but everyone's always focused on what is your gift, and on TV and radio and everything. And a gift is good, but you can develop your gifts. You can do whatever you want, and you can be great at whatever you want. So I always say, it's great that you have a psychic knowing gift, or you can hear. But with my books, you can actually develop all four or five senses if you want. Mm-hmm. Or you can actually take something that's maybe a very low or not very strong gift and make it into a very powerful gift. Once you start summoning, practice makes perfect. Pretty soon, all your gifts will be able to open up very quickly. And these are real easy techniques, but the difference is the books for the last 1,000 years in the medieval era that were written were all written very secretive, because they didn't want to get the secrets out. Well, so it was very difficult for me to actually figure this stuff out. So mm-hmm. I had to actually go in and summon thousands of spirits to actually start getting the answers from them of what to do and how to summon them. And so that's what I've made it just very, very, very easy to do. But my books are mostly to empower people and that they can do it themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get more money in your life if you summon a Babylonian spirit for money. And it's very powerful energy. When you summon a spirit, think of it as like a wind kind of blowing through your life for a couple days, because they represent energy. So if you summon a spirit for love, in the next couple days, synchronicity is going to work to where all of a sudden you'll meet people you haven't met before, or you'll be introduced to people. And that's how the spirit world works through synchronicity, the little events, the little chain of events that add up to bring things into your life. And you'll know, because you kind of know how your life works normally, and you know, you get three things and you lose two, or you don't make much progress, or how you make progress.
Mm-hmm.
But when you summon these spirits, it's like a blast of energy going through your world.
So this does mean a lot to you. I mean, because obviously you've written, I think it was 40 books. You've written 40 books.
40 books on it, yeah.
And you put them up for sale on your website at kiriakos.biz.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means something to you, because otherwise you wouldn't have taken the time, because it's not an easy project to write one book, let alone 40,
yeah.
and then organize them and put them all up and say, hey,
you
guys,
like, it's interesting, because like even with the book writing, if you sit down and everyone they say has one movie and then one record, one book. So if you sit down and try to write a book, you know, it takes a lot of effort. For me, it was very different. All the stuff came to me. And I was advancing very, very quick with my ritual stuff and all this stuff. But what happened, it was like, even now, I'll get a title in my head of what book to write out of the blue. You know, that's how you know spirit's talking to you. Because you know, if you're at the store and you're going to buy chicken, and all of a sudden you get this thought that says, bam, you need to write this book and here's the title. That's from the source. That's from spirit talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get a title. I'll write the title down. Sometimes I even throw it away because I'm thinking, oh, okay. And then a couple days later, all the information will come to me in a split second. Like, it's so much information that I have to get, and I have to type for days and days as fast as I can. I'm a very fast typer, thank God for that. But it's overpowering. But that's how the spirit world does it, because I was able to write all these books with amazing information that just flowed and everything worked out. And I look back now and I think, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I did this. This is amazing. But that's what happens when you do things from the spirit world compared to you just sitting down trying to come up with a book, or, you know what I mean? There's a big difference. I mean, one of the things that the spirit world told me recently was, when I woke up one morning, the word inspiration came to me, and immediately I was told that the word inspiration has the word spirit in there, because every single person in the world that's been inspired to do something, usually there's a spirit behind it that inspired them to do something. And you'll know, because they'll be like, all of a sudden I got this amazing idea and I invented this product. That was a spirit inspiring them to do that. So if you look at the world, things that have been created and done, it's been mostly by powerful spirits, whether they're angelic or whatever.
Well, Curiosity, I have to agree on that, because I know inspiration, I say that about a lot. I mean, we do a lot of artistic mediums through the show now, and we're working on all kinds of projects and stuff like that. And sometimes, like, one thing will be really strong, for me at least, and then something on the other end will be, like, very, very just kind of, like, dull, kind of, like, not going on, kind of quiet, not much going on over there. We'll get creative with that later on, right? And then one morning I'll wake up, and something will just hit me like that, right?
Exactly.
And I'll go, I got to work on this. This is the idea. I got to flesh this thing out.
That is a good job, yes.
But the thing is with
exactly
that.
Exactly what it is.
I'm talking about not just like that moment you get inspired, so to say, but it's the whole creative process when you're working on something. Through that, I know there's been, you know, some of these goofy, like, you know, for example, Doug, you'll know, some of my guides and stuff that I took from text to audio.
I think those are inspired.
Those things were not done, planned out like that. They were just things that, like, I woke up one morning and said, I really got to flesh this thing out in audio.
Similar to Kyriakos' book.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, this has got to be done.
But it's a flow through the whole thing, though. It isn't just like that you get hit by that thing at the beginning. I feel like I can't stop doing this thing till it's done and done right.
Done, exactly. Exactly.
And that's
how I wrote 40 books. I mean, most people in the world will write one or two.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like... If you look at kind of the medieval era, there was a lot of grimoires. These are ancient magic books and a lot of notes in there.
Yeah.
And the problem with a lot of those books is they were hidden. They were written to be very complicated, so you couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, then in the 50s, we had, in the 1900s, you had Aleister Crowley and the Order of the Golden Dawn. They took a lot of this material and tried to write magic books that people could summon spirits with. A lot of it has Jewish and all kinds of rituals and religious things in it, because in the medieval era, you know, the Catholic Church was trying to suppress this, so they would put religious things in it. So if anyone noticed it, it would be hidden within the religious words.
Okay.
So that's the reason why you see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then in the 50s, there was a few books that came out, and then in the 80s, there was just one or two authors, but none of the books really are to the point. These aren't these books that, like a novel, you're going to read 300 pages. They're 50 pages. They're right to the point. I mean, when you buy my book, you're going to put it in the household and you're going to put it on your desk and you're going to go, okay, I mean, this is pretty serious because I need to do this right now, because there's not much to read. It's a straight ritual. This is exactly what you'll do step by step. Mm-hmm. And then it starts opening up for you as you do it.
Obviously.
I put the beneficial spirits in there. But I feel everyone needs to progress on their own, so I didn't put the, you know, lazy words and on and on and on about don't do this, do that. I just left it up to the reader, you know, or the book. Just do this, and then you'll see how it opens for you in your life. And what you were talking about, Doug, about how you get this insight and it inspires you.
That was me. That was Scott.
Are you getting it through, you're probably getting it through psychic knowing, it sounds like, which is what I'm getting, that you're a psychic knower. Knower is when information just shows up in your mind.
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I mean...
Remember, there's four ways, because you're either going to see a vision, or you're going to have a dream, or you're going to hear a song. If you ever listen, wake up and hear a song, your favorite song, there's words that's telling you to do stuff, or you're going to know it. So feel it, know it, see it, and hear it. Those are the four different ones.
Yeah.
Or you'll feel it. Yours sounds like you're a knower for sure.
I knew I know about myself.
Yeah, because on my end, I hear it.
Do
it's
you?
Always
you
audio
it? Oh,
for
great.
Me.
That's
yeah.
great.
I have a question.
That's great, Scott.
The people
you
who...
Hear, how do you hear it, Scott? Are you hearing it
that's
all
Doug.
The time?
No.
That's Doug.
Doug.
And I hear it. I'm Doug. I hear it. And it's my...
Doug hears okay.
Yeah, I also get the... I do get some song, but usually it's voices. And
I hear the song, too. And usually there's some stuff I'm listening to. It's like Cannibal Corpse or like
well,
Slayer.
Yeah, those
and it's going to kill everybody.
Those are the wrong kinds of hearing, yeah. But no, I do.
Yeah.
I hear it just exactly like you would hear it with your ears, but I know that it's not actual.
A lot of
there.
People go, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, okay, I'm trying to develop my abilities, and, you know, I got your book, so what do you mean by hearing, and, you know, it's as simple as, you know, we live in the physical world and spirits reside in the astral plane, which is all around us.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, when something happens, can sense it with one of those four senses. And everyone around them doesn't sense it at all. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means that those people have not been able to drop their level down to a trance state to detect what's going on in the astral plane. So the key is to be able to go and drop from beta to alpha. Alpha is that trance level state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that for like thousands of years no one's been able to figure out. Now we know that through self-hypnosis and stuff, you can drop pretty quickly. I can go into a trance state in about 5 seconds and detect what's going on in the spirit world. And I show it in my book. Very easy to do. Anybody can do this from beginner to advanced. This stuff is easy, but the difference is that I have exposed the secrets that I have found out to make it workable for anyone. I mean, you can summon a spirit for money before you go to work. You can totally incorporate it into your life. You don't need to be like this, you know, spiritual person wearing a robe out in the middle of the wilderness. You can do it in your modern day life, in your room, and do it before you go to work and see the difference in your life immediately.
How about an example of somebody who's corresponded with you after buying and reading and practicing some of the stuff in some of your books?
I had a lady, for instance, one of the ladies recently, she was having nightmares. She had nightmares for like 10 years now, and she would have like these spirits, these dark demonic spirits haunting her, and it was very, very stressful for her, and her whole life was trying to, she didn't sleep very well, trying to avoid at night, you know, avoid going to sleep if she could possibly do it, because in the dreams she would have these spirits trying to hunt her and kill her. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
She said she tried everything. She bought one of my books. One of them was called How to Communicate with Spirits. And, you know, I basically told her everything's in the book. You'd be able to easily do it. But I walked her through it, and I explained to her that, you know, trying to avoid dark spirits is like trying to be in a car and avoid stop signs. You're never going to do it. Whenever you're on the astral plane, there's definitely good spirits and there's definitely dark spirits.
I was going
to
ask.
The key is to have protection, right? I mean, in your car, you're not going to say, well, I'd like to buy the car, but I don't want to ever see a stop sign. Instead, you just get protection. So I teach protection in my book. And once you know how to do protection, very, very easy, then you can protect yourself anywhere on the astral plane. Well, immediately, literally within like 2 weeks, not only have all her dreams are gone, but she says she has never slept as good in 10 years. I mean, it's really, I feel so excited because she just wrote an amazing book review for me on Amazon. I felt so blessed over that. It was great.
So that's awesome. People are learning and benefiting already. What about suggestions? Like, we're a community, of course, of ghost hunters or people who are looking for UFOs or Bigfoot or ghosts or whatever.
Yeah, one of the problems I found with a lot of the paranormal groups, and it sounds crazy, but these people want to go out and they want to desperately experience a paranormal phenomenon. They want to feel, see, hear, or something from a spirit.
Mm.
But yet, what they don't want to do is they don't want to educate themselves at all. And then many of these groups don't have any psychics at all in their groups. It's amazing how many of them, I will say, I'd love to join your group. I'm like, no, we don't accept psychics at all. I'm like, excuse me? like, oh my gosh, okay. It's like, I tell them, it's like trying to play baseball, but you don't have the outfit and you don't even know the rules. You're like, we'll be fine. It's cool.
Well, you know, I think a lot of, I mean, a lot of groups, I think that, you know, the groups I think we like to work with or we've talked to or whatnot, they use a healthy balance between both the hard edge science stuff, tools, and the psychics. I would not suggest a group totally shut down on using a psychic.
My own theory is that if the information is there and it can be provided, it should whether it's through a thermometer or through a psychic vision, the information is there. It needs to be jotted down and cataloged and then studied.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, with the paranormal groups, you're drawing two kinds of people. You've got your tech people, right? Notoriously, these people are tech savvy, but they're socially and spiritually, they're not really into that kind of stuff.
I know those people.
Right. And then you've got your spiritual people. Well, if you look at the end of the spectrum of a human being, this is about as opposite as possible. You've got your tech guy who's worried about the gadget over there working, and then someone over here is sensing spirit. So to put them two together sometimes is like, they wonder why a lot of times they don't want to have them in the same group. But the reality is you have to be able to communicate with spirits and understand the spirit world if you're going to do the investigations, because you can put yourself, and remember, spirits communicate through your senses and stuff. So it's very important that you understand how they operate before you go and do that, so they don't affect or attach themselves onto you afterwards.
Well, yeah.
That's why I've written 40 books on the subject to make it. Most of my books cover like Egypt, Greek, Nordic, Celtic, Babylon. So spirits from all those cultures. I also have how to communicate with spirits, how to do automatic writing so you can find out what's going on with yourself in your life from your own spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
So I've covered sort of the whole range for everybody. Very easy to follow. I make things very simple and to the point. I'm very direct about that.
Well, and I was just going to say, it sounds like you cover a lot of different stuff through all these books you've written. It isn't just one thing. I mean, you're like you said, automatic writing, getting in tune with your senses and things like that.
Channeling spirits.
Yeah, channeling spirits themselves. That's a lot of stuff for someone to learn. And I do, you're talking about your books and how they're stripped down. I mean that in a good way too. How they're stripped down and they're straight to the point.
I like no nonsense. Here's the info.
Well,
go with it.
I was thinking exactly, and it comes up like every week now. It seems like, but my favorite ghost book in the world.
It's one of the smallest books on the shelf.
It's one of the smallest books on the shelf. It's Haunted Houses, Larry Kettelkamp. It's like 60, 70, 80 pages, something like that. Only.
Oh, wow, interesting.
Very short book, but it gets right to the point, and you get the information, and you're on your way. And I think that's effective. That's an effective way to do it, completely.
Well, there's so much that people, summoning the spirit is step A, and all the things that they're going to experience in their life and grow spiritually, because it'll change you for an incredibly better way. That stuff, there's so much to do. I don't want someone to have to spend so many hours just to figure out how to do it. That should be easy in the book. That's why I make it so easy for anyone to do it. The rest of the stuff, they're going to grow, and they're going to evolve and do all that on their own, and I want them to be able to really spend their energy in that, not like trying to figure out how this works. And a lot of people want to guard the secrets, but I feel really happy to get the secrets out because we live in an Aquarius era now and things are changing and evolving. And this is only a start of a huge thing that's going to change as people, enlightenment issues come out and they'll look at the secret. I mean, it's been, 59 weeks, whatever, on the bestseller list. So,
mm-hmm.
My books have been doubling sales every single month and exploding. I have them on Amazon borders all over the place and now on my site, curiosus.biz,
mm-hmm.
which is easy because they're just all listed right there and there's explanations and everything about them as well. Very easy to buy and follow and that kind of stuff.
Well, Kyriakos, it was really great talking
amazing
to you. Yeah.
I'm thoroughly glad that we got
We have to get you to come back sometime because you said my key word. Whenever I hear this word, my antlers pop up, Kyriakos. And that's when I hear the word synchronicity out of anybody. Our listeners know this. When they hear that, they go, "Oh God, here goes Scott again." I spared him of that this week. But what I want to do is bring it back on sometimes. I'd like to talk about that with you if you'd like to sometime down the road.
Oh yeah, I would love to. I'd love to be on the show whenever you want. I have a lot to talk about, and I'm very excited to have to be on the Ghostly Talk. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kyriakos.
Wow, thank you.
Hang on for 1 second. We're just stay on the line. We're just going to go to break, okay? Hang tight.
All right.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Don't forget, everybody, that's www.kyriakos.biz. I want to spell that.
Yeah.
KURIAKOS.biz. And, of course, it's permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right.
So that's there. And coming up next, Tim Yancey, we get to talk about the Just Say No to Orbs tour.
Yeah. Some other stuff he's got going on, too, we're going to talk
and
about.
And some other stuff. And of course, Encounters Radio, which I've been on twice. A fantastic show.
Anybody that knows who Tim Yancey is, they know the relationship we have with this guy. He's a dear friend of ours, probably one of our oldest friends. And whenever we need somebody to fill in, Mr. Tim's here to help us out.
Yes.
We'll be right back after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.